And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Yeah, we call this little segment the News Roundup. It follows Nick, and he does headlines, and I do a little roundup here, things that maybe you hadn't heard anywhere else. And here's something I want to read to you. It's actually an open letter to the president of Egypt. Now, it's written by a fellow by the name of Ashraf Ramallah. He's founder and president of an organization called Voice of the Copts. That's COPTS. This is a reference to Coptic Christians in Egypt. That's the major Christian body in Egypt. And Voice of the Copts is a human rights organization that exists to draw attention to the suffering of Coptic Christians. You remember ISIS beheading those workers in Libya. Those were all Coptic Christians from Egypt. This was a major event last year. And so this group, Voice of the Copts, is a human rights organization trying to draw our attention to the suffering of Coptic Christians in Egypt and also to the chilling effect of Sharia, you know, Islamic law. Now, the situation is this. The so-called Arab Spring made changes in Egypt and other countries. In Egypt, it brought to the surface a president who was Morsi, who was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Turned out he was very bad news. The army intervened, and General Sisi became then president of Egypt. He's a military man. He originally becomes very friendly with the Coptic Christians, even shows up, if I recall correctly, during Christmas Eve service or Christmas Eve mass, and he assures them that things are going to go well. Well, unfortunately, as time has gone on, Sisi has not made good on his reforms, at least on religious liberty reforms. So the Voice of the Copts, this human rights organization led by Ashraf Ramallah, has written an open letter to the president of Egypt. So I thought this is worth sharing with you because it just there was a big protest in the United States trying to draw the Secretary of State's attention and the president's attention to the persecution of Christians in Egypt. It was done on August 2nd, and it was done in as a belligerent act towards the Sisi regime. And Ashraf Ramallah doesn't really expect the Obama administration to do very much about this. But let me read what he writes in this open letter to President al-Sisi, all right? A-L-S-I-S-I, President al-Sisi. Egyptians trusted you and your words, not the least so because of the military uniform you were wearing. In spite of Egypt's adverse experience with past military rulers, you were seen as a hope, not only for Copts, but for a new Egypt. Now, after 2 years in office, the actions of your government are the same as past regimes. We see rampant attacks on Copts. Again, these are Christian, Egyptian Christians. Journalists are silenced. Quote, Aurora, police visits for speaking out. Increased poverty. And the Al-Nur Salafi religious political party intact, operating illegally and influencing your policy. Your government abhors law and order. Citizens are crying out for justice, and you have not taken any action to clean either the corrupted courts or the schools. Mr. President, the homeless victims speaking to you from the video linked here, now, again, he has a video linked in this open letter, which is very grim. Again, it shows jihadists firebombing homes of Christian families. 25 family members displaced and forced into a shelter in a barn. And then he goes on after the video. 1 year ago, you stood inside the Al-Azhar Institute. Now, this is in Cairo. It's part of think of Al-Azhar University as kind of the Egyptian Harvard. You'll get some idea of the importance of this. 1 year ago, you stood inside the Al-Azhar Institute facing its leaders with courage. You asked for a renewal of Islamic discourse. However, we only see evidence of the opposite, as scholars are arrested for adhering to the precepts of your lofty speech. In fact, we see change for the worse. So a year ago, Sisi went and talked to the theologians and scholars, these Muslim theologians and scholars, and said, you guys aren't doing your work. You're not helping to elevate Islamic discourse here. You're down in the gutter with these jihadists. Well, everybody thought this was very courageous and big of him, and a lot of us thought we might get some positive reaction from these Islamic scholars. Apparently not. Apparently those who took him at his word have been arrested for trying to elevate the discussion about liberty in Egypt. And then he lists, there's a list of violent crimes against Coptic Christians. July 17, 2016, Islamic attack upon against two Coptic priests resulted in the murder of a priest brother and serious injury to three others. Let me turn this over. July 14, 2016, a gang of 300 men, attacked Coptic Christians' homes in the town of Abu Yaqub, Al-Minya, due to false rumors of converting home to a church, resulting in the destruction of five houses, leaving five families homeless. 300 people descending on these five families. July 11, 2016, Egyptian police arbitrarily closed the building of the Andalus Center for Religious Tolerance, alleged to have published false information concerning discrimination against Christians in Egypt. July 9, 2016, a man stabbed two Coptic women leaving a church while shouting Allahu Akbar. July 7, 2016, a kindergarten building was set on fire due to false rumors that Christians are planning to convert it into a church. July 5, 2016, the murder of a nun and injury of two others when open gunfire targeted their car in Cairo. July 4, 2016, Coptic pharmacist in Tanta murdered by throat slitting. July 2, 2016, a 15-year-old daughter of a Coptic priest was assaulted by a knife attacker who thankfully was scared off by witnesses. July 2, 2016, a 16-year-old girl was kidnapped by Muslim men. The incident was reported to the local police. He ends the list there. He could have gone on for the remainder of the year. Just about every day this is happening. There remains a sense now that you are not in control of the country, and many are disillusioned enough to believe you never were. Whichever is true, the same dismal conditions remain for the country. Service to the deep state due to your ineptitude, or worse yet, your intentions, denounces the people's call to freedom on which you rose to power. If you can't fulfill your promises to the people, please step down. That's the kind of reaction that observant Coptic Christians are offering. Back when this first came about, Sisi first came about, we were tentative. We talked to Raymond Ibrahim about this, who is a Coptic Christian. We asked him what he thought. And again, he was tentative, but at the time, it looked as though Sisi might be willing to make some big changes. I want to also switch gears here a bit and talk about the Queenship of Our Lady and the fall of Soviet communism. I bring this up because we saw a great principality in power defeated in our lifetime, that of Soviet communism. And many people connect that with the supernatural influence of Our Lady. And I'd like to point out a few dates here. In 1990, on the day after the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Lech Walesa was elected president of a newly liberated Poland, and upon his lapel was pinned the image of the Madonna of Częstochowa. On December 8th, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, 1991, it was announced that the Community of Independent States would replace the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. On December 12th, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, 1991, the Supreme Soviet of Russia ratified an agreement which denounced the agreement that brought the USSR to existence back in 1922. On Christmas Day, 91, the Supreme Soviet of Russia adopted a statute to change Russia's legal name from the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic to the Russian Federation, ending any link with communism. The hammer and sickle flag was lowered at the Kremlin for the last time. Feast days of Our Lady often correspond with major events in the collapse of Soviet communism. I'm Al Kresta.